Texas, America, the world. This is Mark Ancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It is June the 12th, 2007. We're covering a series of news stories today. I have a couple of possible guests for tomorrow. And then on Thursday, Barrett Tillman will join me to discuss his book, Clash of the Carriers. This has been something that's been scheduled for a long, long time with Mr. Tillman. He's been on the show before, of course, discussing his new book entitled LeMay for the Palgrave Macmillan series on the great generals of American history. That book by Barrett Tillman, LeMay, is well worth your time, dealing with Curtis Emerson LeMay, the father of the Strategic Air Command. But Thursday, we're going to be chatting with Barrett about his other book, Clash of the Carriers, talking about the Marianas campaign in World War II. If you were involved in that campaign or know someone who was or have a particular academic interest in the Marianas and what it meant to the overall effort in World War II in the Pacific, you will want to listen to Thursday's show. That will involve Barrett Tillman, the author of Clash of the Carriers. And then, of course, as we've mentioned on Friday, John Dominic Crossan will be on to discuss his new book, God and Empire, Jesus Against Rome, Then and Now. He is a professor emeritus at DePaul University, widely regarded by many as the foremost historical Jesus scholar of our time. You can find his website at johndcrossan.com. And this new book, God and Empire, is a Harper San Francisco publication that is a division of HarperCollins. So we should have some very interesting conversations with Dr. Crossan on Friday, and of course as well with Barrett Tillman on Thursday, with his book on the Marianas campaign entitled Clash of the Carriers. Getting back to the context, then, in which we need to understand the present conflict that we are involved with as American conservatives. Certainly, true American conservatives understand something about the Constitution of this country as it pertains to individual liberty, as it pertains to original intent, the original intent of the framers. Also, there is a doctrine known as the Enumerated Powers Clause of the Constitution, which makes it very clear as to what the federal government can be involved with and what it cannot be involved with. When we keep things like original intent and enumerated powers in the forefront of our minds, it tends to define the parameters pretty clearly in regard to what the federal government can do and what it can't do, constitutionally speaking, and in regard to what is the prerogative of government at any level, as well as what should be the prerogative of government at no level, what should reside in the hands of the people, or what should be a part of the realm of the kingdom of God and not the realm of Caesar. All of these topics begin to dovetail, of course, but certainly when we look at this whole issue of the present struggle that we face with a federal government which has been usurping our rights for a very long period of time, many people would trace this back to Abraham Lincoln, certainly, and follow it up with Woodrow Wilson and Franklin Delano Roosevelt and his successors in particular. But certainly we can find even earlier strains of this struggle in the ideological divide between Hamilton and Jefferson. But as you examine all of this, it becomes important to see that there is a context today in which this struggle is taking place. And who are the people on the other side of the ideological divide from those of us in the populist American right? We need to understand something about who they are, where their funding is coming from, and what the larger conflict is as we approach what could be the end of the American Republic and the end of world history. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about Hesham Talawi's show tonight on currentissues.tv, and then get back to Ted Pike and also Mike Whitney. This is Mark Ancos on RBN. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Attention gardeners. If you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network on this June the 12th, 2007. We're doing some news stories and news analysis today. We will have a couple of interesting guests at the end of the week. I've got a couple of people that may be on tomorrow, but Barrett Tillman will be with us on Thursday to discuss his book on the Marianas Campaign of World War II. That volume is entitled Clash of the Carriers. And then, of course, on Friday, John Dominic Crossan will be with us to discuss his new book for Harper's. That is a Harper's San Francisco, by the way. It's entitled God and Empire, Jesus Against Rome, Then and Now. Looking forward to that chat with John Dominic Crossan, because I think when it comes to some of his ideas about God and empire, we would be in agreement on that. There might be some overlap, might be, between some of Dr. Crossan's views and somewhat Martin Luther has to say in the 16th century in terms of his doctrine of the two kingdoms. Having said that, however, I want to warn you folks that on Friday, John Dominic Crossan might say some things that I won't agree with at all in the area of biblical inspiration in regard to some of his ideas about the historical Jesus. I only mention this because it's important to see that when we have guests on this program, they don't always agree with me, or they agree with me in some areas and not in others. That is quite likely to be the case on Friday, where Dr. Crossan has some ideas about the historical Jesus that may not coincide with mine. I take the older Orthodox Christian approach without apology, or maybe in the best sense of the word, with apology when it comes to the ancient Greek understanding of the apologia. But suffice it to say that when we look at the historical Jesus, I have absolutely no problem saying that the historical figure Jesus Christ is the same Jesus that we meet in the scriptures and the same Jesus that we meet in history and the same Jesus who is the object of faith for those of us who claim the Christian religion in any form whatsoever. I don't think that that's the approach that you're going to get with John Dominic Crossan, however, where you could see in some of his writings an idea of divergence between the historical Jesus and the Jesus of Scripture and the Jesus of faith. That sort of thing, I think, derives from people like Rudolf Bultmann and Paul Tillich, which is not where I'm coming from theologically at all, and I want to get that out there right now when it comes to our pre-Friday discussions amongst ourselves before Dr. Crossan comes on the show. That agree with him as we will in some areas, those of us who claim some version of Orthodox Christianity are not likely to agree with him in some other areas, and that will make for an interesting show, by the way. And speaking of interesting shows, tonight, Hesham Talawi, of course, who has his Republic Broadcasting Network radio outreach, has also his Current Issues television show, which you can find online at Current Issues TV. Very, very important, if you're not busy tonight, to tune Dr. Hesham Talawi's Current Issues TV in. It begins at 6:30 p.m. Central and goes on to 8:30 p.m. Central. And it's so important that you listen tonight because he's having guests in each hour who greatly diverge on the whole subject of Israel. The guest in the first hour is a woman that I do not know, Susan Abulhawa, if I'm pronouncing her name correctly. She has apparently written a book entitled The Scar of David. The Scar of David. And Dr. Talawi, in his news release for tonight's show, quotes a very lengthy prose or poem from Susan Abulhawa that's entitled Playgrounds for Palestine. It's a very, very poignant piece of literature. Quoting from it, Susan Abulhawa writes, I'm 6 and 7 and up to 11. Then I'm an adult in an Israeli court. My hands tied behind my back. He comes to me with a puncheon sack. He covers my head with a hood of Zionist stench. My belly is tough. It will not flinch. The noise is loud and pierces my brain. My pathetic shirt hangs proud with a fresh blood stain. My poor mother is worried sick, I'm sure. She buried my brother before me. She will endure. And my dad, too. Depression got him in the end, with no home, no land, no olive trees to tend. I'm in here day after day. Or is it months or even years I no longer comprehend? The noise is too loud, and I can feel the shroud. He beats me again today, then it's another's turn to play. I'm broken now, but I'll not confess. I'll leave my body, let those murdering bleeps clean up the mess. A few more thoughts before I go. I am human. This you must know. You'd never know it, 'cause I'm tough as the rocks I throw. I had hoped to grow a mustache so fine. Maybe marry Muna. I'd be hers and she'd be mine. Maybe be a father, our children free in Palestine. Isn't that something? That's Susan Abulhawa, and something entitled Playgrounds for Palestine, which I suspect is a part of her book The Scar of David, a novel. This is powerful stuff, folks. And in regard to Israel, I'm sure that Ms. Abulhawa's perspective is completely different from the second-hour guest on the Dr. Chalawi show, and that is Dr. Jerome Corsi, who's been on my show twice. Dr. Corsi, I think, is a very decent guy. He has a Ph.D. from Harvard. He writes, however, for Joseph Farah's WorldNet Daily and also for Thomas Winter's Human Events, both of which are very conversant with a pro-Zionist, pro-Israel point of view, and a perspective that has a lot of sympathy, increasing sympathy, for the neoconservative movement in the United States. Dr. Corsi has made it very clear on my show that he's pro-Israel, that he is pro-Zionist, and basically sees Israel as a friend of the United States. And recently was a part of conversations with the government of Israel at the highest level in regard to what Dr. Corsi says is Israel's non-intention to attack Iran or to push the United States into doing so. I don't happen to agree with that at all, by the way. I think that that is very much a part of Israel's intention to start a war with Iran, whether they do it unilaterally or utilize the United States as a surrogate military force in doing it. I think all of the available evidence from Haaretz and Jerusalem Post that's out there in the public arena would suggest that this is exactly what's going on with Israel and with the leading Jewish neoconservatives in the United States. So I diverge from Jerome Corsi on that perspective, as well as the whole issue of the history of Zionism and whether or not it truly is in the interest of the United States to be supporting the Zionist state of Israel. So that's why it's so important, if you've got time tonight, tune in Hesham Talawi's show, Current Issues TV, which you can find at www.currentissues.tv. And Susan Abulhawa, who is the guest in the first hour, is, I'm sure, a very different person with a very different perspective on the Zionist state of Israel from what one will get from Dr. Jerome Corsi in the second hour of the show. Now, why is Jerome Corsi on Hesham Talawi's Current Issues TV? Probably a couple of reasons. I know that Dr. Talawi believes in the First Amendment, unlike his Israeli adversaries, so he is not adverse to having someone on his show that doesn't agree with him in some particular area. But I think certainly tonight, in regard to Jerome Corsi being on Current Issues, that Dr. Corsi is going to be discussing specifically George Bush's National Security Presidential Directive of May the 9th, giving Mr. Bush power over all three branches of government. Jerome Corsi, by the way, is a very articulate guy and should be able to address that very, very well, dealing with this recent National Security Presidential Directive 51, also known as Homeland Security Directive, Security Directive 20. But in that regard, it's important to see once again that what Dr. Corsi says in this area in regard to Mr. Bush's presidential directives and executive orders of May 9th, what he says there and what he says about the North American Union and Rudolph Giuliani is all worthy of your affirmation and mine. I'm with Dr. Jerome Corsi in all of that. But I tell you, I have to in all honesty say that when it comes to Israel and Zionism and the whole question of Jewish neoconservatives and their provable direct role in facilitating the American attack on Iraq 4 years ago, I'm not with Dr. Corsi on that at all, and I'm very confident that Hesham Talawi isn't either, and certainly Dr. Talawi's guest in the first hour of his presentation this evening, Susan Abulhawa, would not be with Jerome Corsi in that area as well. So that'll make for a very, very interesting 2 hours for currentissues.tv tonight. Tune that in if you get the chance to do so. And as I've mentioned before, I think Dr. Jerome Corsi is a most fascinating figure in regard to the strong convergence between his views and mine in some very key areas, especially with illegal immigration, the North American Union, and Mr. Bush's executive orders. But since Corsi is likely to be the Constitution Party candidate for the presidency of the United States, are his pro-Zionist views truly going to give us an alternative in the presidential elections of 2008? That's a very key question. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E. Documents, plural.com.
I found this company online and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
Texas on the Public Broadcasting Network. We've been looking at some interesting news stories this morning, keeping in mind, of course, that we're also trying to set the roadmap of what we're going to be doing in the next few days. Barrett Tillman will be with us on Thursday talking about his book on the Marianas campaign of World War II entitled Clash of the Carriers. And then John Dominic Crossan will be on the show on Friday to discuss his new book, God and Empire, Jesus Against Rome, Then and Now. That Friday show, I keep saying it, but I'll say it again. If you are concerned, as I hope you are, about Mr. Bush's war for empire and what's happened in this country domestically as well as internationally, you need to listen to Friday's show with John Dominic Crossan to see the extent to which our views will overlap with his when it comes to this whole incredible mixture of the realm of Caesar with the realm of Jesus, which has produced disastrous results throughout history. When people have attempted to have a synthesis of those two kingdoms, it's always produced tragedy. And it's in the process of happening again. And to the extent that we need to be involved in trying to keep this tragedy from happening, John Dominic Crossan's book is well worth your time, keeping in mind, once again, that I'm sure he has some ideas about biblical inspiration and Christology that don't score with mine at all, and that will not square with many of you who are Orthodox Christians who listen to this show. So we'll have to keep in mind areas of convergence as well as areas of divergence when Dr. Crossan is on Friday, but I'm really looking forward to that because I've been reading this book feverishly trying to get ready for Friday's interview. I've managed to get through Barrett Tillman's book, Clash of the Carriers, prior to Thursday, thankfully. Also trying to do some things with Mark Glenn's materials that he provides for me to read. I've got two books by Matthias Chang that I'm trying to get through, as well as some of Michael Collins Piper's research as well. And then, of course, there's also the book I keep coming back to, Dr. Kaveh Farouk's Shadows in the Desert, Ancient Persia at War. That's Dr. Kaveh Farouk's new effort, which you can get from Osprey Publishers at OspreyPublishing.com. All of these volumes are essential reading for me as I try to keep up with the various things that are out there in non-alternative media, as well as to do my daily search with corporate media so that we can have some reasonably intelligent things to talk about on this show. It's a real labor of difficulty as well as a labor of love. And I want you to know that I want to continue working this aisle for you as best I can. But it's very time-consuming, and sometimes the amount of data that I have to get through is just a little overwhelming. And so this is why I'm not always as timely as I need to be in regard to getting back to some of my individual listeners when it comes to email contacts. But I hope that by the end of the week, I am caught up with that once again. And, of course, you can always reach me online on the air at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. This whole business, then, of understanding the nature of the enemy that we face. Dr. Jerome Corsi, who is going to be Hesham Talawi's guest tonight in the second hour of CurrentIssues.tv, has some ideas that I agree with, as I've mentioned, and I like Corsi personally. And I believe he will be the Constitution Party's candidate for president in all likelihood. But when it comes to Zionism and the Israeli lobby, Dr. Corsi and I simply part company respectfully and as gentlemen who respect one another. But, folks, it's a difference. It is a key difference. I don't think we can bridge that particular gap. And in my humble judgment, coming from my own perspective, my own opinion, not asking anyone else to be converted to it this morning, I don't think that one can truly support a conservative agenda. One can truly support the original intent of the Constitution of the United States. One can truly support an America First foreign policy, and that one can truly fight globalization without seeing the Israeli lobby and the domestic Jewish lobby in the United States as the key force behind the far left in all of these areas. That's just my point of view, and I think Ted Pike would agree with me, certainly at the National Prayer Network. I know that Michael Collins Piper and Mark Glenn would agree with me. This doesn't mean that we're inerrant, but that's our perspective. And at a bare minimum, I think it bears underscoring once more that that is a division that is not going to go away when it comes to the American right. Those who are on one side of the aisle with Israel, as well as those who are on the other side of the aisle when it comes to that subject and the role of the domestic Jewish lobby in the United States. And how one comes down on that particular perspective is likely to determine many other things. We'll be back with Ted Pike and Mike Whitney and Paul Gottfried and William Norman Grigg when Mark Dankos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson Music Shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're looking at a series of news stories and op-ed pieces this morning. And as I've mentioned before, Barrett Tillman will be with us Thursday morning to discuss his book on the Marianas Campaign in World War II entitled Clash of the Carriers. And then Friday, Dr. John Dominic Crossan of DePaul University will come on to chat about his new book, God and Empire, Jesus Against Rome, Then and Now. That is a Harper San Francisco publication. Really looking forward to that Crossan show because we will see the areas of convergence and divergence with one of the leading thinkers in theology today who obviously brings to his theological understanding some degree of commentary in regard to the present political scene in the United States. where there are those who are strongly identified, of course, with various notions of theocracy and various ideas related to Christian Zionism, who believe that the United States has a divine mission to be doing what it is doing presently in the Middle East. For those of you left, right, and center who don't agree with that, Friday's show is for you. That's John Dominic Crossan to discuss his new Harper San Francisco book entitled God and Empire, Jesus Against Rome, Then and Now. Again, back just real briefly to Ted Pike's piece this morning entitled Jewish Activists Created Communism. We got to keep in mind, of course, that this Global Anti-Semitism Act of 2004 says that Ted Pike is an anti-Semite for breathing the information that he has breathed through the National Prayer Network onto the Internet. When we look at the information that's there, however, it becomes abundantly clear that Ted Pike is simply speaking the obvious. There was a disproportionate amount of Jewish involvement with bringing the Bolshevik Revolution to pass in Russia. That is undeniable. And when you look at all of the sources that Ted Pike has cited this morning in that piece that are Jewish, like the Encyclopedia Judaica, just to mention one, it becomes abundantly clear that this is true. And the last couple of quotes that Ted mentions in his article are especially stunning. Sir Winston Churchill, he says, writing in the Illustrated Sunday Herald of February the 8th, 1920, agrees with the previous testimony, quote, this is Churchill now, quote, there is no need to exaggerate the part played in the creation of Bolshevism and in the actual bringing about of the Russian Revolution by these international and, for the most part, atheistical Jews. It is certainly a very great one. It probably outweighs all others. With the notable exception of Lenin, the majority of the leading figures are Jews. Moreover, the principal inspiration and driving power comes from the Jewish leaders, unquote. And then Ted Pike continues, but to be fair, let the Jews have the last word. Words written after millions of goyim had already been slaughtered in Russia. Quoting from the American Hebrew of September the 8th, 1920, quote, the Bolshevist revolution in Russia was the work of Jewish brains, of Jewish dissatisfaction, of Jewish planning, whose goal is to create a new order in the world. What was performed in so excellent a way in Russia, thanks to Jewish brains, and because of Jewish dissatisfaction and by Jewish planning, shall also, through the same Jewish mental and physical forces, become a reality over the entire world. A reality all over the world, is the exact quotation there from the American Hebrew of September the 8th, 1920. Let me posit this question then to our fine friend Dr. Jerome Corsi of the Constitution Party and of WorldNet Daily and of Human Events. Does this not provide us with a grid through which we need to evaluate the Jewish lobby today in this country, where, again, we are talking about less than 2% of the population of the United States? And yet when you look at Michael Collins Piper's research in the new Jerusalem Zionist Power in America, it becomes abundantly clear that that less than 2% of the American population has a disproportionate, incredible influence in American government, American media, American educational institutions, and American NGOs and think tanks. Why is that? How is that? How can that be? Is it not the case, folks, that what Ted Pike has talked about from less than 100 years ago in Russia is a microcosmic primer of what is presently happening in American society? And if it is, what are the implications? This gets back to what we talked about last week from the American Free Press of June 4th. Mike Piper's piece, Tamar Jacoby, the little-known driving force pushing for illegal alien amnesty. Now, keep in mind that Dr. Jerome Corsi, who's going to be on Hesham Talawi's show tonight, currentissues.tv, is opposed to illegal immigration. He is opposed to amnesty for illegal immigrants. Dr. Corsi is against the North American Union and against the globalist movement that the North American Union represents. I will give him the benefit of the doubt on all of that. He has come out on the right side of all of those issues publicly. And for having done so, Jerome Corsi needs to be commended. But why does he fail to see that when we look at all of those issues, one of the key driving forces behind it all is the domestic Jewish lobby in the United States? Piper's piece of for AFP on June 4th on Tamar Jacoby is yet another piece of the puzzle. Mike Piper says that Tamar Jacoby, who of course is affiliated with the Manhattan Institute, as Mike puts it, a neocon plotting stable, is a young lion of the hardline pro-Israel neoconservative clique that dominates a wide array of public policy groups and official think tanks in Washington. When you look at Ms. Jacoby and her and the fact that she is a former deputy editor of the op-ed page of the New York Times and a former senior editor of Newsweek, married to the late Eric Brindell, another ex-Trotskyite, quote-unquote, turned neoconservative, who was an influential editor of billionaire Rupert Murdoch's New York Post, where Brindell made the paper a screaming and enthusiastic torchbearer for international Zionism. Why is it that Tamar Jacoby why is it that a person with those connections would be a driving force pushing for illegal alien amnesty? Is she doing this on her own? Or in effect, is she acting as an agent of a Jewish lobby that wants to globalize the United States? Is the globalization movement in the U.S. that Dr. Jerome Corsi indicates that he opposes, and I will accept at face value that he does, why is it that that when we come to the forces behind those globalization movements, we always seem to see these Jewish neoconservatives standing behind nearly every one of these thrusts in public policy? And here again, we see it when it comes to illegal immigration. Michael Collins' paper, I think, has effectively proven it in the American Free Press of June 4th with what he says about Tamar Jacoby. Why is that there once more? Take a look at what Dr. Kevin McDonald has said on this subject. Look at kevinmcdonald.net and his paper entitled Jewish Involvement in Influencing U.S. Immigration Policy, 1881 to 1965, A Historical Review. Why is all of this there once more? And what does it mean? Is it a part of a larger picture? I think when we look at what Mike Piper has talked about in this June 4th article for AFP, compare it with the latest that has come from Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network in regard to the central role of Jewish activists in bringing about the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia in the early part of the 20th century, quite clearly there's a connection. And Mike Piper goes on to say something in his book, The New Jerusalem, that I want to mention, because it then gets into some discussion, I think, this morning of what Mike Whitney talks about in regard to Putin's censored press conference, which you can find at globalresearch.ca. When we look at this whole business of Vladimir Putin in Russia, what is behind so much current American governmental and media criticism of Vladimir Putin? If we don't have some inside sources and perspective on this, it seems to me, we're likely not to get the larger picture. If you get a copy of The New Jerusalem, Zionist Power in America, Mike Piper's volume, and look at page 167, the answer is lurking there. Mike Piper says that in the new post-Soviet Russia, a handful of Zionist billionaires known as the oligarchs are struggling to maintain an iron grip on the Russian economy, facing a challenge from Russian President Vladimir Putin, who by taking on these powerful forces has put his own future on the line. And needless to say, the Zionist-controlled media in the West has not welcomed Putin's measures against the oligarchs. The media vilifies Putin, calling him a throwback to the era of the Tsars or that of the dreaded Stalin, who in his final days began moving against Zionist influence in Russia, thereby bringing about his own early demise. Whether Putin will survive the Zionist onslaught is a question the answer to which will play a major part in directing the course of Russia's future and that of the world. For the Zionists have no qualms about stoking up a new Cold War between the United States and Russia in order to tame Putin and ensure the survival of Zionist clout in Russia. In the end, the struggle against inordinate Zionist power and influence and its often pernicious consequences has always been a part of history, and in the United States today it could very well prove to be the critical issues of the years to come, or at least it should be. This is what Michael Collins Piper, of course, mentions in his book, The New Jerusalem, on page 167, and going on to into page 168, he says at the very bottom of the page, the institution of so-called hate crimes laws, which are nothing less than schemes designed to counteract criticisms of Jewish influence in American policymaking, along with such liberty-robbing measures as the so-called Patriot Act and other such legislation, are part and parcel of a long-planned program to suppress dissent and set in place a program of thought control with one purpose and one purpose alone, to assure continuing Zionist domination of the American experiment. That's Michael Collins Piper today at the New Jerusalem, Zionist Power in America. And when we look at what Mike has written in this very fine book and put it together with what Ted Pike says in his latest piece entitled Jewish Activists Created Communism, we then turn the page and go to Mike Whitney's very, very important article today for Dr. Michael Chosnodowski's globalresearch.ca. That's the outreach wing on the Internet of the Center for Research on Globalization in Canada. Whitney has a very important article there entitled Putin's Censored Press Conference, the transcript you weren't supposed to see. Read Mike Whitney's article this morning, folks. Read it very, very carefully with attention to some of the details that Michael Collins Piper has talked about in his book, The New Jerusalem, with the context of what Ted Pike speaks about this morning in his alert, Jewish Activists Created Communism. It is in this light that I think we need to evaluate what Michael Whitney has to say about Putin's censored press conference. Mike writes that on Tuesday, Russian President Vladimir Putin gave an hour-and-a-half-long press conference, which was attended by many members of the world media. The contents of that meeting, in which Putin answered all questions concerning nuclear proliferation, human rights, Kosovo, democracy, and the present confrontation with the United States over missile defense in Europe, had been completely censored by the press. Apart from one brief excerpt which appeared in a Washington Post editorial and which was used to criticize Putin, the press conference has been scrubbed from the public record. It never happened. Read the entire press conference archived here. If you go to Mike Whitney's piece at globalresearch.ca, it's entitled Putin's Censored Press Conference. There is a URL click which will lead you to the entire press conference transcript. Whitney then goes on to say that Putin's performance was a tour de force. He fielded all of the questions, however misleading or insulting. He was candid and statesmanlike and demonstrated a good understanding of all the main issues. The meeting gave Putin a chance to give his side of the story in the growing debate over missile defense in Eastern Europe. He offered a brief account of the deteriorating state of U.S.-Russian relations since the end of the Cold War, and particularly from 9/11 to present. Since September the 11th, the Bush administration has carried out an aggressive strategy to surround Russia with military bases, install missiles on its borders, topple allied regimes in Central Asia, and incite political upheaval in Moscow through U.S.-backed pro-democracy groups, quote-unquote. These openly hostile actions have convinced many Russian hardliners that the administration is going forward with the neocon plan for regime change in Moscow and fragmentation of the Russian Federation. Putin's testimony suggests that the hardliners are probably right. The Bush administration's belligerent foreign policy has backed the Kremlin into a corner and forced Putin to take retaliatory measures. He has no other choice. If we want to understand why relations between Russia are quickly reaching the boiling point, we need only review the main developments since the end of the Cold War. Political analyst Pat Buchanan gives a good rundown of these in his article, Doesn't Putin Have a Point? Pat Buchanan says, quote, though the Red Army had picked up and gone home from Eastern Europe voluntarily, and Moscow felt it had an understanding we would not move NATO eastward, we exploited our moment. Not only did we bring Poland into NATO, we brought in Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia, and virtually the whole Warsaw Pact, planting NATO right on Mother Russia's front porch. Now there is a scheme afoot to bring in Ukraine and Georgia in the Caucasus, the birthplace of Stalin. Second, America backed a pipeline to deliver Caspian Sea oil from Azerbaijan through Georgia to Turkey to bypass Russia. Third, though Putin gave us a green light to use bases in the old Soviet republics for the liberation of Afghanistan, we now seem hell-bent on making those bases in Central Asia permanent. Fourth, though Bush sold missile defense as directed at rogue states like North Korea, we now learn we are going to put anti-missile systems into Eastern Europe. And against whom are they directed? Fifth, through the National Endowment for Democracy, its GOP and Democratic auxiliaries, and tax-exempt think tanks, foundations, and human rights institutes such as Freedom House, headed by ex-CIA Director James Woolsey, we have been fomenting regime change in Eastern Europe, the former Soviet republics, and Russia herself. U.S.-backed revolutions have succeeded in Serbia, Ukraine, and Georgia, but failed in Belarus. Moscow has now legislated restrictions on the foreign agencies that it sees, not without justification, as subversive of pro-Moscow regimes. That's Pat Buchanan being quoted by Mike Whitney in the latter's article, Putin's Censored Press Conference. We'll get back to Mike Whitney's piece when Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
We'll be right back.
back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been covering a series of news stories today, keeping in mind, of course, that Thursday, Barrett Tillman is going to be on to discuss his book, Clash of the Carriers. That deals with the Marianas campaign, and it's not an accident that Barrett Tillman is scheduled to come on for June the 14th, because that is the anniversary of the Marianas campaign, June 14th and I believe June 15th. Really looking forward to that conversation. If you're a World War II history buff, either because of academic interests or because you were involved personally or a loved one or family member was directly connected to some of these great events of six and a half decades ago, you'll want to listen to that show. And then Friday, John Dominic Crossan is going to be on to discuss his new book, God and Empire, Jesus Against Rome, Then and Now. He, of course, is from DePaul University and is, according to Harper San Francisco, which published the book, and not only a professor emeritus at DePaul, but is widely regarded as the foremost historical Jesus scholar of our time. I'm sure that I would agree with Dr. Crossan. And some of his ideas about God and empire would probably diverge from him at some very interesting theological points as well. In the back of the in the back jacket of this book, inside cover, it shows Dr. Crossan in Western Turkey at Priene, reading an inscription to the quote Emperor Caesar, the son of God, the god Augustus unquote, and it indicates that John Dominic Crossan is thinking about God and empire in this photograph as well as now. Very, very interesting man, I'm sure. And by the way, this does get into the central historical question that I think is behind the original context of the Apostle John writing his apocalypse on the island of Patmos. What caused John to be there? Most scholars believe that Emperor Domitian, who reigned in Rome between 81 and 96 AD, exiled John there because of the latter's failure to go along with the deification of the Roman emperor cult that had been developed by Domitian. And it's in that regard that we need to evaluate potentially all of what is said by Jesus Christ through the Apostle John to the seven churches of Asia Minor listed there in the opening chapters of the Apocalypse. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Those are the seven. I have them memorized because I had to write very lengthy essays on each of those seven churches under a great deal of pressure taking an examination under Dr. Donald Carson in Chicago at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Deerfield, Illinois a generation ago. So I remember those things well. Those lessons are coming to serve me in great stead.
A message for all.